time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On.
Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On.
Yes, we've all been stuck behind you, sir, wondering aloud, is he going to turn here? No. Maybe at the next? No. Then maybe? No.
You're gonna cause a five-car
perhaps, Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On, you are simply on a personal mission to drive around the entire globe slightly to the left.
I'd honk my horn, but you wouldn't notice.
Apparently, you don't notice anything.
Maybe you'll notice this obscene gesture, yeah.
You believe a left turn signal should be left on, and your right turn signal feels so right, you never shut it off. And so we dub you, Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On, a real American hero.
Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On.
Oh, he must be turning here. Nope. Oh, here. Oh.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the Morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, August 10th. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Sam. Breaking news.
Did you notice I'm here this morning?
I did.
Oh, wonderful.
I was here earlier than you. It was weird.
So?
Okay, well, just...
What does that have to do with anything?
It just means that I thought I was a little freaked by my own actions.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm freaked, too.
Are you freaked? I was looking for a little enthusiasm. Thank you. Love the energy.
Enthusiasm about you getting here early. Let me think about that one.
I mean, I've been pretty good. I'm not rolling in here like it was.
Yeah, and besides, you're not doing it for me, so it doesn't matter.
What does that mean?
Right? It means that I don't have to appreciate it. I mean, you get here on time for you, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I like a little appreciation, a little loving. I mean, you don't have to be all like, you just need to do it because it's your job. Like, you could just be like, hey, thanks for doing your job. You know what I mean?
Why? Why would I thank you for that?
Sam.
Good morning to you.
It's a little early, Sam.
Are you as tired as I am?
I'm doing okay. I was out late a little bit last night, but I made it home okay. So what have you been up to? What's going on?
With what?
I don't know. Life.
I don't know. You asked it like you knew something's going on.
Was there something going on? I don't know.
No, absolutely not.
Okay. Well, then just checking.
Just checking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've got a guest.
We do have a guest. Why don't you go ahead and introduce him?
Everybody from the mean streets of Hollywood, we've got Dave Hansen, as seen on Chelsea Lately, writer for the Chelsea Lately Show. And you may have seen him on a couple Wendy's commercials.
Back in the day.
Welcome, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks
good.
For having
You're going to have to get closer to the mic, though, so we can hear you.
Oh, that's always a good thing.
You don't have to raise it, just as long as you get closer. Cool.
There we are.
So thank you for visiting with us.
Thanks
it's
for
cool.
having me.
Yeah. Are you an Angeleno originally?
No. I'm originally from Seattle, Washington.
Did you hear the no?
Yeah. It's like, come on. Those people are freaks.
Yeah.
We
wanna... You ever, it can't be associated with L.A., huh?
Well, not. It's like, if you ever meet the people that are from out here, there's something off about them.
You think so?
Well, any more than, like, the people that just move here and then lose their soul? I mean, that's kind of the same
it's
combo.
It's similar. But, like, there's, like, if they were born and raised in Hollywood, not in the outlying L.A. areas, but, like, if they were from Hollywood, West Hollywood, that's where they spent. There's just something. That they had a different upbringing. They were around the freaks since they were impressionable youth. So there's something off about them.
They got a freak impression.
See. Okay, well, maybe they're not 100% perfect, but you know.
No, but
yeah. Seattle is cool though, huh?
That's a good city. Yeah, I like it. I'm proud to be from there.
What about all the suicide and stuff?
You know, that's from L.A. people moving up there.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, depressed from the rain.
From the rain. And I like the rain. I'm fine with it. I grew up with this. So
really?
I think it's great.
I don't get those people that are like, hey, I love a good rain. I like it when it's gloomy. I like it when I just want to, you know, lay in a ball of fetus in the corner and eat bonbons. Like, I do.
You tell me you don't enjoy it. That's one of the best times you can have in your life, laying in a fetal position, stuffing your face with chocolate.
There you go.
Actually, that's good.
I happen to love rain, too, you know. I mean, it's a certain mood.
Yeah.
You know. But you wouldn't know. You love sunshine.
Well, I mean, I guess if, like, you know, you're going to watch a movie and snuggle up with whoever, insert person here, and there's, like, a fire or something, you're like, rain, it's a nice soundtrack. But normally it makes me feel like, oh, man, I'm not getting something done.
Really? Like, gloomy?
Yeah,
I don't know. It feels, I like it. It feels very clean.
Yeah.
Like, constantly in a shower,
like,
huh?
God showering the earth with healthy, clean stuff.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good.
Well, you're definitely in the right place. There's not much rain here. So that's cool.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good. I like it.
Was there a lot of rain in Texas?
Yeah, I mean, it's very weird. I say the weather's very menopausal. It's like torrential downfall. It's like it'll be super hot and steamy and hot and more steam, and then it'll just flood, literally.
Really?
And it'll be like hard rain, the kind of rain that you could get a bruise from if it hits you.
Really?
Yeah.
See, we don't get that, though. I think the conception of the impression of what Seattle's like is different, because up there it's more cloudy. There's cloud cover for most, and it fits, though. It looks like it should be, because it's all mountains and trees, so you're like, this should be cloudy. Yeah. And then it's sort of like, it sort of rains constantly, but it's not like this torrential downpour at all times.
Just light rain.
It's just colder and more, you know, cloudy.
So you liked growing up there then?
Oh, yeah. It's a good area. It's cool.
Yeah. See, ironically, when we finally got a chance to get to Seattle, it didn't rain at all. It was just clear sky.
But it's gorgeous when it's clear, though.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Well, like San Francisco, same thing. I thought it was going to be a lot more overcast, and I got there for 2 days. It was like pure sunlight.
Yeah.
It's a dramatic city with the sun. It's just the bridge, the buildings, everybody. Loved it.
Yeah.
Hypodermic needles, whole nine yards.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
It seems like everybody loves San Francisco. You know, it's got a vibe to it.
Eh.
No, you're not crazy about it. You're
I don't
know.
The
first one I found.
There's a little bit. That is a pretentious city. I mean,
it is. It's
city
very expensive.
That,
it's very pretentious.
They're very, very proud of themselves. They're very like, oh, we're from San Francisco. My brother, who's from Seattle, him and his family came down to visit, and they were in San Francisco first, and then they came down here to L.A. to visit me, and we were walking around, and he was like, you know, people in L.A. are really polite. And I was like, what? And he goes, well, San Francisco, no one will talk to you. They're just rude up there.
Really?
And they said, but L.A., everybody's really like, you can say good morning to people. They say it back to you.
Really?
That struck me as weird, because I would just assume that, you know, San Francisco's. But then more thought, I was like, yeah, every time I come to San Francisco, they're a little hoity-toity about themselves.
Mm. Well, I don't know much about the people there, because I don't know anyone there.
You
but
know, you
but
know
the
where,
city itself is.
The city's gorgeous. It's a beautiful town.
You know where people are really rude? The Saddle Ranch on Sunset.
Did something happen to you last night? Were
no,
you
not,
there?
No, not last night, but a friend of mine went to go see a show, and like what we do, and this is wrong or whatever, and so if you're hearing me, you didn't hear it on the radio, don't sue me. But, you know, parking's is hard. It's expensive up there.
Yeah.
So we'll go pull into the Saddle Ranch, which is only like $2.75 to park, and they tip them like $3 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, tip them a whole quarter. Anyway, my point is you go in there, and you go in, you show the dude your ID, and you walk through the Saddle Ranch, and you walk out the other side, and then you walk on the other side of the street, and you go to the comedy store, wherever it is you're going to go. You know, the House of Blues or whatever.
Just scam them.
Yeah, so whatever. It's not an original thought, but that's what we were doing. So I was on my little travels through there. I think I got pushed like 3 times, and especially because you're sober, you stand out more or something.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not like drinking that night or whatever, and you walk in there, one girl, I walked through the middle of a picture, and she gave me like a push. And I was like, oh, no, you see, I will cut you. But then I thought, no, she's drunk. I'm not going to win this, you know.
Yeah.
That happened like 5 times with different people.
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, that place, though, they have a mechanical bull.
They do.
So you know when you walk through there the kind of people that they're trying to attract to that place.
Which are what?
I think they're the people that want to see women on a mechanical bull. Mm-hmm. That's the guy. Like, it's the same thing. It's like, you ever go to a club that's got, like, a stripper pole as, like, part of the decor.
Right.
You're like, all right, this is catering to a specific type of person.
Yeah.
That's
going to
show
true.
Up to this and go, I want to see this now. I want to see girlies dancing.
That's a great idea. I mean, that would be a big turn on, to see a girl trying to struggle on the bull.
Trying to
struggle and see if it's get launched in
like
the air.
He's like a dirty old man over here. You don't get the ball rolling. He's already thinking about it. See, he's not going to defend this point. He's
well, he gave me
it.
The idea. What do you want?
Yeah.
But there's always that, whenever you go to those places, like, there's always, like, you know, 6 hot chicks who will do the bull slow because it looks like she's riding something else. And then, like, and then there'll be, like, the one drunk guy they'll get on, and everybody hates him because he just ruined the sex show that was happening.
Yeah.
And then, so the guy running it will turn that thing up to 11 and just launch that dude.
Really?
Those bars are a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was, like I said, passing through, but it's just funny, like, you know.
Yeah, if you're walking through one of those bars not drunk,
it is really weird. I mean, not that I go around drunk, but I'm just saying, when you're in those places and you haven't had a drink, and this is a really hyped up place too.
Right.
It's not,
right.
It's tourist attraction. It's, you know, whatever. So it is definitely a different kind of vibe. You're like, whoa, you're kind of seeing the nasty of everybody.
Yeah, you don't want to. You're riding above the drunk crowd. You'd rather be. It's better to be in the drunk crowd.
If you're
gonna
do it. You don't want to be seeing it for what it is.
No, it's not as fun.
Yeah. So how long since you moved down here?
I've been out here about 9 years now.
Really?
I think that's what it is total. Yeah.
And so, but you like Seattle. So what happened? Why?
Well, I came down here for college originally. I went to Whittier College.
Oh, okay.
Small liberal arts school.
Yeah, never heard of it, but that's fine.
Where Richard Nixon attended. His alma mater. So I went there, and then I started doing stand up. I was studying writing and acting, and then ended up just making the. It was either it's either L.A. or New York for the biz.
That's
so
true. Yeah.
New York scared the crap out of me, so I stuck with L.A.
Oh, did you go?
It's just intimidating. I'm a West Coast kid, so I didn't know anybody over there. I've been there since, and that's a great city. I could live there.
You're really cool.
It's a great town. I mean, it's the greatest city in the world.
Yeah.
But,
But to live, it probably would be difficult in New York.
That's a rough one. Yeah, but I think that's what I tell people now, if you're getting out of school, and you're like trying to go right into your career, don't. Mm. Just go to a city you've never been to and live there for a while and get your feet wet, check it out.
Mm. That's cool.
But you don't regret doing LA, going to LA versus New York, do you?
No, not really.
The scenes out here, I feel like more. I mean, I know there's a strong comedy scene there, but.
I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, there's part of me that regrets not. Because LA's always going to be here, right? Like, if anybody thinks they got to get to LA fast, it's like, come on. LA's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Go live your life a little bit. Get some experience. So I kind of wish I'd done that a little bit.
Oh, just more for life experience? Not
I think
so. Much career decision.
I mean, I lived in England for a little bit, and I've lived some other places, but it's like.
How was England?
Awesome.
Awesome.
It's a good country.
Did you have Bubble and Squeak and Bangers and Mash?
Bangers and Mash, Spotted Dick, eh? That's what the excess is called. It's like a sausage. It's
gross. Really?
Yeah. Terrible name, but it doesn't mean the same thing.
What was it like for you, that experience?
It's good. Oh, England's great if you're an American. If you're a young American dude, England is.
The girl's like, oh, I love you, American.
Crazy. It's the equivalent of being a British guy over here and using your British accent to get ladies. Everybody thinks you're a cowboy, no matter what. If you're from America, they just assume you're a cowboy. And literally, I had good friends of us. We were over there. We were studying theater, so we were like straight dudes studying theater, which is just you clean up, and then you do,
which is true.
It is true. It's like it's a majority women, and then the male population is divided 70% gay, 30% straight, and like that's what you're working with. So that 30% cleans house with the ladies, and on top of that, you're American, so you've already got this autumn. You're already in. You can do what we literally said the F word and did Simpsons quotes. For the majority of the time we spoke to anybody,
and they loved it,
ate it up. It wasn't even a problem. It was so easy.
Yeah, it's amazing how they're fascinated with us and we're fascinated with them.
Yeah, it's
because we speak the same language, yet the cultures are so different.
All you need to do, at least sexually, if you're trying to get cut loose, is just be something that's different from whatever everybody else is.
Right.
And that instantly, women are like, almost like a Darwinian sort of, ooh, what's that? That's different.
That's a secret almost in everything you do in life. I mean, even in business, you got to be different. You got to stand out.
Yeah. So if you're like round person with dark hair, go to Scandinavia. Right. And you will be the hottest thing anybody's ever seen over there. I think so, because like they're used to like,
blondes.
Everybody's like 6 foot and blonde, men and women. They're all skinny. Yeah. And it's like, oh, you're curvy? You're round? That's hot. That's sexy for the Vikings.
Welcome, yeah.
Mm.
They dig it.
Yeah.
That's funny. No, being from Texas, I never really had much of an accent because I just didn't want to sound like a hick. So I kind of really worked on it. Even as a kid, I would always try to talk like a news reporter or something.
Oh, really?
I'd find myself like I just didn't want to sound like Bubba or, Gump or whoever was hanging. You know what I mean? Scooter. I just didn't want that.
But it's charming on a woman.
It is. And see, that's the thing.
That?
Yeah, I do now because I came back here. Now, I can kind of put it on a bit and I can kind of talk like that. And if I do it with people or guys, they kind of think it's sweet and cute and I can kind of get a little away with it. Huh? But, it's not really the way I normally talk, so I'd have to consciously do it.
I would think as a Texan, you can get away with a lot of stuff. Being Southern in general, you can get away with.
Out here, it's cute.
It's cute.
They automatically think you're dumb. Yep. And they think you're cute.
And racist. You could probably get away with saying a lot of racist things. People just go, oh, she's Southern. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. It's expected.
Look, it's not her fault. She's from the South. And she's just like,
hi.
Hey, y'all.
How y'all doing out there? No, I have these crazy cousins from the East Texas backwoods. And I remember they would just have conversations. They sound like this. Like, they're like, I don't even care what Bo says. If he don't want to go to homecoming, he ain't got to go. If he gonna come with me, he brings Cheryl with her on her arm. I will fucking throw it down. Talk like this all day long. They don't give a shit.
That's true.
The hell are you doing, Sam?
It does sound a bit stupid when.
Well, that does. But there's always like different. There's different dialects within it. You know, right. Different like little. Right. You know.
Yeah. Some of them are really thick. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. But, you know, anywhere rural kind of has those sort of accents. Like Washington.
This was like super rural. This wasn't like Houston.
Even up in the Northwest, you get outside of Seattle, there's very rural areas that have a specifically rural accent. It sounds hickish. It's just hickish. It's regardless of region.
Right.
It's just, you're just talking sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of silly.
It's the pace at which people talk that brings out that draw.
Yeah.
So they've shown that you know, languages closer to the equator, the hotter places have more vowels. So like, you know, Hawaii, aloha, Honolulu, Hawaii, right? And then you get up further north, like, you know, cold places, there's more consonants, like Germany or Poland or whatever is up close. It's like
wow. And you just insulted so many countries.
No, I just said Silent Night. The Silent Night in German.
Yeah.
I didn't inquire. Okay, shit. So, anyway, I was saying the right thing. But up north, it's more consonants. And think about it. If you're shivering and you're cold, you're going to say more consonants. You're going to be like, I've got to go to the store. You know what I mean? Versus like.
That's a bit of a stretch.
No,
but
think
okay.
about it. If you lay back and it's like sunny, you're like, yonga.
I think also that.
Makes sense. I broke that down for you guys.
Yeah, you really did. But I'm gonna jump on it, and I'm gonna say that I think the closer you are to the equator, the hotter it is. Therefore, the slower you move around. But
yeah, everything.
Up north, people got time to mess around. It's cold out.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta get inside and get my stuff, and then get home. Whereas the south, I can, you know, closer you are to the equator, you can just sort of.
Look, they're not punching a time clock down there. They're not.
Are you kidding me?
Climbing the corporate ladder. They're climbing a coconut tree.
Spain and Italy, they take naps. It's a cultural thing.
Yeah. Definitely.
They just fall asleep in the middle of the afternoon.
2 to 4, yeah.
Two
they
four.
Close their businesses down.
Everything closed down. People just take a nap. And I'm envious of that, but you can't do that in the cold.
Yeah.
You kidding me? You'll die.
You gotta keep your body moving.
Keep your body moving. Keep that warm going until nighttime.
Yeah.
Sit by the fire.
Wait, I was telling him, he does this thing on, he was going off about the Twilight and like the True Blood and all the vampire thing. And then I just happened to tell him that we had Anne Rice in here and everything and how that went.
Right.
He's got a thing with the vampire thing.
I don't
really,
like,
you like.
Well, it? I don't. Here's the thing: is that I understand. I'm a big fan of vampires. At least I was growing up. I find them creepy and scary.
But now it's destroyed.
But now it's destroyed in a way because it's sort of like this. It's become the emphasis has been on this sort of ridiculous girl obsession of being, you know, seduced and
it's
this
just
sexy.
More sensuous.
And have you ever noticed that, like in all those stories. Yeah. It's always, in at least in American vampires, they're always Southerners. They're always ex-Confederate guys. It's always like a guy who got turned into a vampire.
Well, maybe
a Confederate
because
Anne
Rice is a Southerner.
They're all the writers are Southerners.
Yeah.
And it's like there's this like this romanticism of this era of like the 1850s and 1860s. And it's like he was a Confederate soldier who got turned into a vampire and he hasn't found love since then. And you're like, okay, so he's a racist. And he's a racist undead demon. That's what he is. This is what we're romanticizing now, racist undead demons. That's an awful thing. I find them scary originally, and I just hate that they've been turned into this teeny bopper,
right.
You know,
romantic
thing.
Yeah, it has been romanticized, I think, and they used to be very scary. You're right, and now they've given them sort of like personalities and stuff. You know?
But they're always they're boring. They're boring characters. Mm-hmm. Like if you ever you've noticed that these vampires are they're like this bored undead aristocrats. That's what they are. They're kind of like once you become a vampire, you're bored with everything that doesn't involve blood or sex.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, life's so stupid.
But
this
apparently
is so dull.
People love this because they eat it up, you know?
I
don't get that fascination either, but people like it.
They do. I mean, don't get me wrong because I like True Blood, okay? And I'll sink my teeth in.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, but no, what I've noticed is that if I was a vampire, which I don't really think like that, but since you brought it up, if I was a vampire and I looked at their lives, they're not attractive lives.
No, they're pretty dull.
Because they've kind of seen it all. They've been around for 7,000 years, so they're over it.
You
and
know?
They can't die, so they're pissed. They're going to eat everybody and turn them.
But if you want to read a good vampire book, is Stephen King's Salem Lot.
Yeah, that one was good.
That is a scary book with a scary vampire that is like, that's a creepy story.
Right.
And it makes you go, oh, this is bad. I would never fall in love with this thing. This thing is horrible.
Yeah.
And then you watch these Twilight, and it's just, you know, it's
a different.
It's girl candy. Yeah. That's what it is.
It's girl candy.
That's true. It is for girls.
It's completely for girls.
Yeah. No, I think guys watch it too.
Who's into Twilight? Come on.
I know a couple guys. One is gay. The other one's questionable.
Oh, I see.
See?
Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
On the fence. Yeah. He's thinking about it.
But it's getting too graphic. I don't know if you've seen it. I mean, and I'm not trying to be all like, you know, Miss Cover Your Eyes, but it's getting like soft core porn-ish.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to see that, you know, like I didn't try to put on Skinamax for a reason because I don't want to see it. But if you're watching a show you like and then they're like, oh, now they're doing it, like, and you see it all. and it's not pretty doing it either. It's like, I don't want, you know what I mean?
Why?
Like,
do they make love differently?
Vampires do. Yeah, everybody knows that. Come on.
Yeah.
No, it's just, you know, when people are going at it carnal style and, you know, hair's flying and shit and, you know, I'm just saying,
it's like angry sex.
It's kind of like they're trying to get something out of sex that I don't think they're going to find in sex, but they're going ape shit on each other. And you're seeing...
dealing with psychological issues through the sex.
Yeah, you're seeing like things flying and you're seeing stuff. You're like...
It doesn't look fun.
I just don't think sex is made to be watched, to be honest. I think it's supposed to be something you do and participate. You're not supposed to sit there and observe other people doing it. That's my opinion.
Well, you are not a guy.
Yeah, well, clearly not, but yeah. No. You know, I'm just saying... Going back to the True Blood, it's like, and I still watch it because I think it's a great show, but definitely there's times when I'm like, see, I'm just not, that's not sexy to me. I'm not feeling what's going on here.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it. So if it's just for girls, why are they putting these
and the sex stuff in it?
Yeah.
But you're the first girl I've talked to that's like not into that.
What, the sex part?
That, at least with True Blood. And the other ones are more high schoolish girl stories, you know, where they're like,
there's a lot of cougars in that. I've got a lot of friends that are pushing for
it. Oh, yeah. No,
like,
older women love Twilight. But it harkens back to this sort of like, what the vampire wants is not to have sex with you. The vampire wants to seduce you and have your blood or whatever. And they just want to be near you. It's this element that I made fun of in my bit, that it's like, he's not there to have sex with her. He's there to seduce her and he wants her blood, which is inside of her. It has nothing to do with her appearance. He's just there to be with her. he's lived for hundreds of years. He just wants to be with her because he loves her, even though he's and it's such a ridiculous fantasy that is in no way a reality of how men are, which I think is where it comes from. It's in no way a reality at all.
Really?
Yeah, men aren't like that. Men aren't here.
Well, I don't
just
think men are like hanging out for 7,000 years and just want to hang out with a girl and you captivate them. Like, I don't think it's that.
Yeah, but that's the draw of the vampire. He's not drawn by sex because he's not.
Well, they are very sexual. They're like,
but sexual from a woman's standpoint. Like, they're sexual in the sense that they're seducers and they're here to.
Have you watched the show?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay, well then, yeah, they're always. It's kind of like weird. Well, I think what's interesting. We're gonna get a little deep with this show. Okay.
Yeah, let's analyze the shit out of vampire.
No, I'm just saying. You know, the sexuality in most circumstances is not about sex. It's about some kind of power.
Right.
You know, somebody's trying to get something from someone, you know, the woman's trying to get something from the guy's trying to, whatever. And I think that, like, in the TV show,
that's a very cynical view, though. You know?
Oh, really, come on! Is. I'm cynical. I'm the happiest damn person you know.
Well,
you know,
but that's a cynical view. That's not true at all.
Well, I think.
Oh, it's true
to
a degree.
It's very
true.
It's
got some element to it.
I'm not saying every person that goes to bed with their spouse is having some power control, but even if you were, whatever, have fun with it. My point is that. You know, these vampires, back to the vampire, Sam, not talking about you. The vampires are kind of trying, it's about domination, I think, and they're trying to get something. It's not necessarily about sex.
Mm-hmm. Right, but there's also this, in the True Blood storyline, is that the blood of vampires, like an aphrodisiac, is supposed to make you better at sex. It's got this, like, special power to it, which, that's a, you know, that's not in, there's no, you read Bram Stoker's Dracula, that's not in that at all. It's not like,
there's no Viagra pumping through vampire's veins.
Get the blood, it's amazing, try it. I don't know,
fun.
That whole show, the thing with as far as the sex, the gratuitous sex in it, that's, I think that's still aimed at the women, per se, because men will...
Yeah, it's not straight sex. I mean, it's seduction, like
it's
you said.
No, this is dirty sex.
It,
like, it's
it,
not
it ends
pretty.
Up being dirty, but it's like, that's just because it's HBO, and they'll show anything.
And they go, and they're, yeah.
But I think most guys aren't, like, into the storyline, per se. You know, they'll watch, men will watch sex. I mean, look at YouPorn. Men will just watch it.
What's YouPorn?
Oh, shut up.
It's like a YouTube, yeah.
It's like YouTube,
really?
But for porn. It's free porn.
Yeah.
And people
and then
upload
there's
their
RedTube
own home videos
also.
Yeah, some of it's just clips of, yeah, it's a mix of things.
Yeah, people load up sex clips, but usually it's not amateur like you would expect it to be. It's just that they record, I think, something and
it's taken from the internet. It's just, yeah, it's free.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good that you guys are up on this. Thanks for
Us and everybody else. How are you not? Oh,
I'm sorry. It's not my thing. But
Yeah, she sees six. She runs the other way.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
You like to make it a big deal out of this shit.
But it is a big deal, yeah.
To who?
To everybody.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Anyway. Are you afraid of sex? Is that your...
I go to bed at night clutching my blanket.
Ain't no man getting
holding my shotgun. I got my chesty belt on. Lock good. Ain't nobody gonna come up and make me that McDowry. No, I think sex is beautiful and it's awesome. Everybody has heard this on the listening audience.
So, oh, have they already?
Yeah, so I'm not going to go down the whole thing. He likes to throw it to every new person that comes in, like, hey, you want to hear Kara's crazy sex
stories? Crazy sex stories?
Hey, listen to this.
I don't think I quite put it that way.
No, you don't, but there's always a way it kind of comes out. I just don't want to bore the audience because they've heard it a million times.
You're not boring anybody. That's fine.
Anyway,
We can talk about you all day and night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm an open book.
Analyze the shit out of you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right, Sam.
Yeah. So what do? You're in comedy?
Yeah, I'm a stand-up comic.
You actually make a living off of it?
Yeah. Well, from a number of things. From telling jokes, from writing, freelance, and then I'm an actor as well. So you see me on TV or you hear my voice on radio.
Really?
Once in a while.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, I carve a living just like everybody else in this town somehow.
Yeah. So you got the world by the balls, pretty
No,
much.
Not at all.
No?
I have the
okay.
world by one stray pubic hair that I'm pretty sure is going to
okay.
fall
well,
off.
You're on
anyway.
Your way. A lot of people can't make a living being in entertainment.
No, but you go through phases at it. You know, some days you're, you know, there's you'll have a couple really slow months where you're like, okay, I got to go bartend.
Right.
Here and there. That's the lifestyle. That's how it is.
Yeah.
You know.
How do you feel being a man in L.A.? How's the man perspective? Since you brought up all the other man, I want to hear it.
There's a weird perspective about being a dude. I think in our culture right now, in general, not just L.A., there's a void of, like, what a man's supposed to be. I think I think the male psyche in this country is kind of going through a little bit of a...
What do you think?
Well, I think it's skewed. We're being fed for the last couple of years that you're supposed to be...
So you think men are being feminized more?
No. I think we're being over-masculinized, but not true masculinity. It's a bad impression of what masculinity is.
Okay.
It's an impression that you need to be in shape. You need to be... It's almost the stuff we've all been throwing on women.
Right.
It's sort of like... It's more of an outer appearance view. And then that's been... Now we've taken that and put it on men.
Mm-hmm.
And men aren't learning any of the values anymore of what it means to be a man, I don't think. Not the traditional views.
Yeah. So you were saying that what men are being told is masculine is what? Hard rock body?
Hard rock body. You know, the Ed Hardy lifestyle.
Uh-huh. Like juiced up.
Juiced up. Get out there. Bang as many broads as you can. Get out there and just get out there and party. Beat the beat. You know, be the Jersey Shore type of guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Get out there.
There's
and
nothing
just,
new about that one.
There's nothing. No, like that's the perception I think of what men are supposed to be. This sort of like you're supposed to, you know, gather as much resources as you have. You show off your wealth. Show off your and you know, I think that you know, get a six pack and you're set. And I think that if you ask most women, I think if you were to ask a woman what's sexier about a man who actually you know knows how to fix your car. Knows how to move some shit in your house.
Yeah.
Something who can like...
They get turned on by that.
Oh my gosh,
you know, they're
so
like,
much,
they're like, oh, yeah. If there's a guy that you're as a woman slightly interested in, you're curious about, and then he shows up and he's like, hey, can I fix your car? Can I change the oil in your car? That woman is in love with it. But then
she's like, let me spread for you.
But then, like, you know, the guy who's just got his shirt up at a club just showing off his, you know, some strange abdominal six-pack that, like, no... Mm-hmm. And it's not a reference point. It's like the woman has no... There's no background story with this. It's just a random six-pack.
Yeah, my friend Brian does that, but it's funny.
It's funny, but it's like...
It's not like something you want to actually saddle up with.
Right. We're being taught that that's what's appropriate. Mm-hmm. That's what we're supposed to be doing as
but
a dude.
But I think women in L.A. do look for that, don't you think?
Oh, to a degree, sure.
No,
they're also being fed a line as well, aren't they? They're also being told, this is what is hot. This is what you're supposed to be attracted to. And you see it, though. You come across these women out here who are in their 40s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they've realized, you can see it in their face, this sad realization that they spent their 20s and early 30s chasing the wrong stuff.
Right.
And they've been, you know, they've been left a couple of times. They've been going after these dudes who are hot at the bar. And you can see it. They were like, oh, shit, I did not value what I was supposed to be valuing.
Mm-hmm.
And I let myself go. I've missed out on my best years. You can see it in their face, and it's a scary, sad moment.
Yeah.
See, I kind of look at it, it's kind of semantics, but I always look at it, there is an over-feminization of men, because I think the over-focusing on a man's physical appearance
right.
is very feminine.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And being in the entertainment industry, and I've seen couples and friends that I know where, like, they help each other pick out their clothes, mm-hmm. and, like, they're very critical of each other's appearance and stuff. I'm like, that's so not sexy. Like, that's not masculine to me.
Right.
You and I are not going to fight for the mirror. You're not going to be prettier than me. You're not going to give a shit as much as I do. I get to dress you and make you what I want, but you don't, you're just going to go, okay, I like it, or I don't like it. That's the way I think a guy should be as far as physical appearance goes.
Yeah.
And I think that in LA, like, I know people that, oh, don't touch my hair, or don't touch my skin, I might break out. Like,
right,
really,
right.
They're so precious.
Yeah,
they're just,
it's a little too
there's
much.
A vanity to it. And mm-hmm. there's just a, not that women should be vain, but that there's this really out of place kind of vanity.
Well, I think there's a push with men to be alpha males and to be like this awesome man. And it's like, well, why don't we just focus on being men first? Not all of us need to be this, like, awesome picture of a dude that's an Ed mm-hmm. Hardy, you know, affliction, tap out, UFC type of guy. Mm-hmm. Why don't we all just try being just regular good men first?
Yeah.
And then, you know, a couple of us feel like taking it over, you know, over to the next level we can. But for now, yeah. why don't we all
do
the basics
first? What do you think that looks like then?
Well, I don't think it looks like anything. It just looks normal, like a normal person would, you know. Mm-hmm. And then
But what do you feel like? You said values. You said a few things that you're like, this stuff isn't, you know, everything's misplaced, misprioritized. What do you feel like as a man in this society is not being valued that should be?
Probably being more responsible with your life in general. Just like being, the, you know, you there's sort of a traditional, and by no means am I saying that men should always be this way and women should always be that way, but there, you know, there is an element of like, hey, just put your head down and do your work.
Mm-hmm.
Stop complaining about life and stop focusing on these other things that don't really matter. If you put all of your effort towards, you know, whatever it is, saving for a house or you know, getting a good job and like being really good at what you do, rather than like, I've just got to make as much money as I can right now so I can be the biggest hip-hop star you've ever seen. I can be a UFC fighter. I'm going to get out there and chase these ridiculous, absurd dreams. It's just, it's like, what? You could have been a good person. You got to spend all your time growing into being a good man, and now you're 35 and you're still a child.
Yeah.
I don't get that. That sucks. You don't want to be that 45-year-old guy who's still at the nightclub, who's got the fake tan and the.
I know. I used to work for a man like
that. Oh, they're gross, and they don't know that they're gross. They think they're still doing what they've been doing since they were 20.
Yeah,
it's like
they
never grew up.
I dated a guy who I thought personality check, body, physical appearance check, good heart check, but eternally like Peter Pan.
Right.
And mama's boy, mom still did a lot of shit for him.
But this is an entire generation of guys that are growing up, and their main influence isn't their father. Their main influence is YouPorn. It's Maxim magazine.
Right.
It's these other elements of...
Yeah, but, you know, in society, we admire men that screw a lot of women, too, you know? So it's like they can walk tall and stuff, so...
Yeah, but there was like
the way we value things.
No, it's not... You know? Look, we get it. You're horny. Everybody wants to... dudes want to do a lot of girls. We're not arguing that. He's saying... look like what a part of it is an illusion of success, like just because you know, like kind of looking through it going, okay, so and so is, you know, banging a bunch of chicks, okay, let's talk about the fact that he's rocking a mean case of crabs, let's talk about
but like there's also this element of like, where does that get you though at some point? Like I look at, like, you know, at some point that nightclub scene, and for me it happened very early, but at some point it has to get old to you. Right, it has to get old, this like staying up all these hours and being trying to be a rock star. And it, you know, then what do you have left, I guess, is the question. Because I look at it and I go, there's no, the last generation that kind of made it work out was like my grandparents' generation. And, you know, if you ask your grandmother, you know, hey, how'd you meet grandpa? How did that handle?
Yeah.
And she would
online
tell you.
Online dating.
No, she would not say that. She would say, well, it was something basic. It would be like, you know, we went out for sodas and we liked Jack Benny and we hit it off. Great. We dated for like, you know, he held my hand after the third date.
3 years.
But then you ask, like, you know, she probably wouldn't say, well, we were, you know, grinding away at the USO dance and then he, you know, got me to tongue kiss my best girlfriend and then he shoved his finger up my ass and, you know, we were set for life. And that's like, that's my generation's, that's our story. It's like we met in Vegas at the orgy. And, you know, your mom was the last chick that touched my wing.
She let me stick my finger up her ass.
Yeah, it's something like that. And you're just like, ugh, that's terrible. What? I don't want that. That's a horrible life.
Yeah. Well, life has changed, obviously.
You know?
And today there's a lot more freedom, I guess, you know. And women are freer with the sexuality, you know. So
Are they, though? Are they? Yeah, I don't see women taking control. I think they're taking control of the image they've been sold more. I don't know if that's true women's sexuality. There's a great comic named Jen Kirkman, who I worked with on Chelsea, and she has this great bit about female masturbation. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching it for the first time, hearing it, and laughing, but then realizing, wow, that was a view I had no idea about, that I would never have guessed that's how women view or fantasize or think about their sexuality. Uh-huh. And I think that, like, there's a perception that women now have to be this sort of, like, if they're slutty, porn, more power, like power-hungry porn star-ish, suddenly they're in control of their sexuality. And I think, no, I don't think they are. I think they're just presenting what they've been taught as, like, a really powerful stance.
Yeah, I think it's a learned behavior, yeah.
Yeah, and I think women aren't instinctively like that. I think that's something that they've been told to be like, and they've just accepted, a generation of women has accepted it and said, oh, well, I'm in control of this fantasy. But it's still not real. It's just a...
So you're saying that women don't have the drive to masturbate? Is that
Do, but it's different from a man's drive. They're different from us. They're way
different.
Well,
obviously they're different, you know, but, you know, at least we're able to talk about it. We're
right. Yeah, we are able to do that. We can talk about it more.
And, you know, women more, I think, demand their sex, you know, when, you know, even if they're in a relationship, you know, they don't want to have just casual sex. But if they're in a relationship, they insist on it, you know. And I don't know if it's necessarily because they're taught to be that way or they just feel freer to express themselves, you know.
Well, so, I mean, women are sexual and they have a sex drive, and I'm not arguing that because that's just the way we're made, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think it's more just the packaging and the motive sometimes. I think women use sexuality to get something, and they use it for affirmation. They like, I mean, it's really tough being a woman in Los Angeles. I mean, I think it's not easy for men, but I think women are constantly, you know, they're the target of a lot of media, a lot of pressure, and there's just this impossible measure that no one can meet. And so women are constantly like, oh, this is what's currently hot, I'll be that. Okay, this is how it works, okay, I'll do that. And they kind of lose themselves in this game, and it's just to kind of, you know, basically seduce and hopefully be seen as, am I pretty? And I think a lot of the sex for women, it's not that they don't like having sex, but that a lot of the motivation sometimes is that they have a deep need for affirmation and identity, and they're kind of like,
yeah, but that goes for men as well, I think, you know.
Yeah, I do. I think men do it.
When you conquer a woman, you also feel like you've accomplished something, you know.
But I mean, I just think, is sex really supposed to be solely about that?
That's like the phrase, when you've conquered a woman.
Yeah,
that's a great way to look at it. When you've conquered a woman.
But did you notice that men always think about sex like violently, like, you know, like I fucked the shit out of her, you know? It's like,
holy cow! I've never.
That was actually something that Billy Crystal brought up once, and it doesn't make sense, you know. I mean, women talk about it like nicely. He made love to me, and this. It's like I fucked the shit out of her, you know. It's like,
I just feel evil when you say that.
I know exactly what you mean, but when you say it out loud, that does sound horrible.
Yeah.
I suppose there is an element of that for men. It is a, you know, but you say that in the bragging sense, though, when you're talking to your buddies afterwards. It's like, you know, you accomplished a goal. That's right. A more polite way to say it.
Yeah.
I really accomplished my goal with her.
Yeah, I don't like this.
Well, I kind of feel embarrassed if I'm with a guy that screwed a lot of women and I haven't, for example.
Really? Really? You feel insecure about it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny. I don't.
Because it's just like I think of the like an animal herd or something, you know, where it's
right.
Like one male gets all the females and then the other ones are just kind of sitting there all, you know, like feminized and stuff. You
well,
know?
So it could also be that you're looking for male approval and you feel like you want male identity, and if you measure up the way they do, then you're going to be in with them.
No, but men do measure themselves up that way. That's what I'm saying.
Some,
in general.
Some men,
not every man, though.
I think most men
see through that, though. Some men are like, ugh.
I've never been that into, like, counting, you know, numbers with other guys. Yeah. I've got friends that, like, man, they pull girls, and it's always been that way. They just have that knack. I've never been that dude, though. I've never been that guy that, like, walks into a bar or whatever and is like, you, and you. We're gone.
Right. That's what I'm saying, you know.
I don't feel bad about that. Like, right. You know, a lot of those buddies that do that, they lack something else in their life because they've been really good at that, and that's, like, their focus. Mm. I don't know. I've got... I
think it takes a stronger man to love a woman and to, like, be with her and, like, satisfy one woman. Like, you can, like, tag and bag and hit it and quit it, and you don't get the, like, hey, that really sucked last night because you're out. You lost their number. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think it takes a lot more strength to be a man that's actually with one woman.
That's true for either. I mean, I think you could say that's true for men and women. It takes a lot of strength just to be in a monogamous relationship in general.
Yeah, but it's deeper. I mean, there's a different payoff that you get with that.
Yeah, but you know what? I think there's something to be said about pleasing a lot of women.
Like,
know?
What? That you're a fucking hoe bag?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sam, grow up. Really? Are you just that enamored
with
it?
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Come on, Sam.
Yeah.
No.
No, why not?
No, but I mean...
Why not? I mean, you know, it's like for men...
What is it, though? Help me out here. What is it about it that you just think is so...
cool?
Yeah, what is it?
Because I think it's really cool to be able to satisfy a woman because they're not so easy to satisfy. You know, so if you have a lot of women that want to be with you...
But how do you know you're satisfying...
That's the thing, yeah.
The women, if you're only with her like one time.
You don't know. She could be faking it. She could be like...
Okay, how many are going to fake it? You know what I'm saying? If they're faking it, they've got a problem.
Well,
Sam,
on a first...
All of them have faked it,
buddy. A first time go with it, everybody's just like, it's awkward. It's like, let's just do this. What do we need to do?
Everybody's trying to impress everybody else.
You're wrong. I think a lot of women can have casual sex and climax and everything and enjoy themselves.
Look, I do think there are women like that. I'm not disagreeing. I just think that there's a bubble going on that you don't want it to break. But I think that, honestly, it's not every woman's not just dripping with a wet, soggy vagina ready to go.
Wow.
And want to do...
Best description of the day.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I think there's this perspective that guys have. Like, women are just, no. Women, they want it like we do. No, like they don't want to see through it.
No.
Like,
I think that's very true. I think that men, one of the things we do wrongly is perceive that women, their sexuality is just like ours, mm-hmm. that they just want to bang out numbers, that they're automatically turned on when they see something sexual. And one of the things I've learned from women, just from talking to them, is that they don't think that way, that they're usually, there's something way more grounded in who they're attracted to and why, and that's when they are turned on. It's different from guys. It's just
a
different
perspective. Yeah, well, that's some women. You know, I mean, like I said, I've met women that are...
I think majority of women are like that.
With casual sex, you know, and they like it, and they like different...
Sam, who are these
they
women?
You
had
experiment.
A lot of... Listen, you had a lot of porn stars on your show.
It's not porn stars, not necessarily porn stars, but, you know, I mean, just women, you know. It's just like maybe you're not ready for it, but I think maybe women, when they get older
now.
And stuff. No, you're still in your 20s, and you have your doubts and everything, but I'm talking about, you know, women in their 30s and their 40s. They're very hungry, you know.
No, that's true. I just think that there's more that goes into it is all I'm saying. I don't think...
I think it's different. I'm not saying it's less than. I think it's different from the way we are as men. Mm-hmm. I think women have a different... I think it's a different psyche because they've got an innie, we've got an outie. Our job is to put it in things. Their job is to take it in, which means they have to be selective at who they're taking in, which means their sexual identity is a little bit differently, you know, wired than ours.
Right,
you know,
there's
other things
that
they value more.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, you know, but I just think that I think Kira doesn't acknowledge how women are like really can be sexual for the sake of sexuality. You know, rather
Sam,
than for just
I'm
for
a woman.
Romance.
How do I not know how women are like?
Because you're not like all women. You're very unusual, in fact. You know, how many women do you
I'm
know
not
who
unusual.
Are 28
I'm built,
and celibate, you know? I mean,
Sam,
I'm
first of all, I'm built just like a woman. I have the same exact drive.
But your mind works
no,
differently
but
from
I'm,
a lot
what
of
I'm
others.
Doing, listen, what I'm doing, you know what meekness is? It's called power under control. And when somebody says, you know what, this is what I want to do, but I'm going to actually make a sacrifice and not do it. Doesn't mean you don't still want to do it. Doesn't mean you don't have the same urges and you don't understand. It means that you're saying no to this because you're saying yes to something else. You're making a sacrifice for something now because you want to gain something different in the future. I'm not unusually built. I'm the same way. I'm just making an alternative lifestyle decision.
Right.
And I'm not always successful at it, which I've told you. So, you know.
Okay, that's what I'm saying, though. I mean,
in those
you
inconsistencies
know.
That I've had, I've got a little experience, you know. And I know, like, some of how it works. I'm not, like, freaking five.
Right.
So.
But you are different from other women in many ways.
But this isn't about this. We're talking objectively about...
We're generalizing.
We are. We're talking about your particular opinions. You're saying I'm a woman and you know better than I do about women. And I don't think it's necessarily
true. What I'm
true.
Saying is I think that you possibly could have been fed a cultural kind of illusion that when you're around these women that are always like, I want to fuck, whatever. It's or like porn stars or not even just porn stars or women that are like, I'm sexually liberated. I'm just saying, absolutely, there's women exist. There are women that, you know what, they don't care about the strings attached. But I'm asking you, how do they get there? And what are they really trying to get out of it? And what brought them there right now? And because I don't think it's just that it's this illusion you want to have that women are just like guys. And if they're acting that way, it's because they didn't start off that way, is all I'm saying.
Okay,
they're damaged goods. That's what she's getting to. All women who want to have sex are damaged goods, right?
Shut up.
That's what you're saying. That like.
No, I'm saying like when a woman, I even have close friends.
Yeah.
That have used to be like, I'm like a man. I can do it and not care. I've had friends tell me that.
Oh.
And it's been
BS
years,
lie.
But then they're like, you know what? I really don't feel that way.
Right.
But it was a progression. It was a time in their life that they were looking for something.
Okay, so there was a time in their lives. That's what I'm saying. You know, I mean.
But I'm just saying. I think there's kind of an illusion that men have of these women that they're just their names are all bubbles and they just love to bounce for you and they're just like ah.
Those are strippers.
whatever.
That's point. What you're thinking of. Those are strippers.
No, but I think it's a mentality. Like the girls, you know, even in LA, it's like.
Yeah.
So you want to tell me that women don't do like booty calls and stuff?
No, they do, Sam.
Okay.
You're missing what I'm saying.
All right. I'm not missing what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying.
No, you don't.
We've talked about it a million times, and I know exactly.
You
the
don't.
Point is that.
You have a bubble you don't want me to pop.
I don't have a bubble. I just go based on what I've seen. And in 50 years, I've seen more than you've seen in 28.
Well, guess what? And a woman and a
point to
woman,
Sam. Point to Sam.
If I'm 28, I'm a woman. I've seen more woman of 28, whatever that means. Than you
yeah,
have.
What the hell does that mean?
Means I know about being a woman more than you do. So there we're even.
No, you know about a woman being 28 and celibate. That's what you know about.
It isn't like my whole life celibate. You know that?
It doesn't matter. You are right
that
now.
That word just sounds dirty, too. What do you say?
I said, you are right now. Okay, well, never mind. We'll take the spotlight off of you.
I don't care. No, I don't care. It's not like an embarrassment.
Yeah. So what about you? Are you attached?
I am. I've got a girlfriend.
Really?
She's cool.
Yeah.
I met her.
How long have you been together?
9 months, which is a record for both of us. We're
oh,
not.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
You've
we're
never
not really.
Been in a relationship longer than that, huh?
No. That's another thing with dating in Los Angeles. You tend to, I think that, both guys and girls also do tend to sort of date short periods out here. Because the mode of the city, if you're in the biz, so to speak, is this town makes you wait around and always think that something better is right around the corner for you. Mm. That's the mind frame that everybody has. And that kind of bleeds into your other parts of your life. So I think dating-wise, people tend to like date, and they're real passionate, and they sort of act the part of a serious relationship for like 2, 3, 4 weeks, and then it just sort of like fizzles out. Yeah. and it's not even and then you realize it's so short a time, this doesn't even deserve a official breakup. It just sort of, we just stopped talking. Yeah. And that was kind of, you know, for most of my adult life, that's kind of been the relationships I've been in until my current one. That's been, that sort of just lasted long for some
really?
Reason we crack each other up, so we've been sticking around.
And how'd you guys meet?
We met at a wedding, which is just so cliche.
Really? That's
yeah, we
cool.
met at a mutual friend's
very
wedding.
That's a good story, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was fun. It was one of those weird ones where we were both there, didn't really know people, and then we ended up talking and hitting it off. And we had both just started not dating, but had been on a date with one other person mm-hmm. before. So we both, like, within a week had to, like, tell each other, go, all right, I totally broke it off with that other person.
Wow.
Mm. I'm here for you.
The cake.
Let's make this happen. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So.
And what does she do? Is she in comedy too?
No, thank God, no. She's an editor. She edits.
She edits what? Newspaper?
When I met her, she was actually editing at E! News. She was an entertainment editor for E! News.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That
she's really into sports. She actually, her ideal job would be editing highlights for a Major League Baseball team.
Really?
She's a Chicago fan, so Cubs.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of unusual for.
Oh, I hit no. I got sports. I got the hat trick on this one. She's a really good cook.
Yeah.
She really loves sports, and she's a huge Monty Python fan. You don't find that usually in any woman, but yeah. in one woman,
I guess
all
a
three of those.
Monty Python fan is very important on top of my list.
Well, if you're a comedy geek like I am, you kind of, when you find anybody who's like appreciates Monty Python, she only not only appreciates, she has a favorite Python.
Really?
So you're like, yeah. Oh wow, you really. Yeah, you know what you're talking about.
Well, you sound like you're in love, and that's good.
So what about what if she? What does she think she'll get the Cub job one day?
Who knows? Yeah, maybe we'll both like move to Chicago, and she'll start working for the Cubs. I'll get free tickets to.
Yeah, what would you do in Chicago though?
There's
probably
right.
comedy there too. Huh?
There is comedy. Chicago's a great city. It's a great city for you know, actors and writers. And
have you lived there at all?
No, I've gone to visit. I've got some good, very good friends who live out there who do that, and are very successful at it. It's a You know, it's a good city. It's a great city.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what she does. That's what she does. She is an editor and a Monty Python fan.
Cool. Well, do you have any appearances coming up?
Let's see. When does this go on today? Is that what this...
This is live, yeah.
This is live, so it's going out today.
What's
this
that?
Thursday, I will be at the M Bar in Hollywood. And at... I think that show starts at 7:30. And then later that night, I'll be doing the 12 Shiny Nickels show at 11 o'clock at the Fake Gallery in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. So you're doing two shows in the same evening?
Same evening.
Wow.
Yeah, busy
That's
night.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
And then in September, I'll be in the Seattle area at Laughs Comedy Spot from the 16th to the 18th.
Sounds Dave Hansen,
good.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Check him out. Facebook.
Check me out. Facebook me.
Facebook me.
Let's be friends.
Is that Hansen with an H? I mean, with an E or with an...
With an H, yes. It does have an H in it. It's with an O.
My last name is Hassan, so it's pretty close.
Is it H-A-S-S?
S-S-O-N, right.
Now, where is that from?
Israel.
Oh, it's an Israeli name. Okay. Yeah. Mine's Norwegian.
Oh, really?
So we're on the other
end. But you're not connected to the Muppets guy or anything, Jim Henson?
Henson, no. He's got H-E-N.
Right.
I'm H-A-N-S-O-N.
I see. Okay, well, no relationship there, but that's cool enough.
You
seem funny to me. That's what's important. Dave, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. It's a blast.
Of course. Kira, are you okay?
I'm not okay.
You're not okay?
What do you mean, am I okay?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Of course I'm okay.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you all for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.